Mike Alvarez, welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorcher. Thank you for joining me on this glorious Saturday, July 7th, 2018. I mean, it's a stunning day out there. Pleased to be joined by, in studio by the co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, Woody Lashin. How you doing, Woody?
I'm doing great as always, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to see you, my friend. Things are hopping at the shop, I presume. You guys are in full swing now. People are, we're in the heart of golf season now.
We are. People are out enjoying it. People are, unfortunately, breaking some clubs, having some issues, needing some stuff fixed, but it's all good.
Yeah. Yep.
It's all good. City location's going great.
I just saw you guys expanded another day. That's nothing but positive news. I mean, you don't do that unless there's a demand.
I think there's demand for more days.
Really?
Just a question of getting it done.
So you've gone from 2 days to 3 days, which is a big deal in itself, and they even may possibly want more?
This time next year will be 5 days. There's enough demand. We just got to figure it out.
Really? That's interesting. So you're going to I'm sure you're starting to formulate your plan to how to manage that, but
working on it. You know, just the whole key ingredient is be able to give the same service that we always try to give to everybody, and you know, got to do it right or we won't do it at all.
Yeah, this is not and this isn't McDonald's, you know what I mean? This is something where I mean that in the sense that the things that make you guys special is the personal touch, and the fact that you're concerned about losing that in expansion, when of course obviously every business would enjoy expanding and feeling wanted in a higher demand, it speaks to you and Pete's philosophy that you're not unwilling to do it, but treading cautiously to not lose the things that make you so valuable.
Well, thanks. In my latest article we wrote about shafts last month, we talked about, you know, you could get a McDonald's hamburger. It's good, right?
Yeah.
We've all had them.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's, you know, it's one quality meat, and it's, you know, a one guy just flipping it over on a timed. Or I can go to Peter Luger's and I can get, you know, a totally different quality of meat and a totally different quality of chef cooking it.
Yeah.
We're trying to look after that Peter Luger's model.
Yeah, no question. And the funny thing about even that is that McDonald's is meant to give you this equitable experience no matter where you go, and you're trying to give the equitable experience, but everything is customed to that particular client. Whereas, so you go into Peter Luger's and you're getting, you know, they're asking you questions and they want to know how you like it. But
you want medium, you want rare, how would you like it?
All this stuff. Whereas McDonald's is just throwing it across, you know, give me the number 7 and have a nice day. All right. Looking forward to talking today. Before we get to Tom Kaplan, the superintendent of North Hempstead, you've got a lot of superintendents playing defense, preventative defense here in the last week in the Northeast. But just real quick, your thoughts on Tiger Phil, $10 million winner-take-all match.
I love it. It's great. Absolutely great. it's good for golf. People are going to – look, we're talking about it. That means it's people in golf are knowing about it.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this earlier. You said, well, you know, I'm not so sure. Well, Phil is still the 20th best golfer in the world. He's old and decrepit. He's still the 20th best golfer in the world. Tiger, who has played no tournaments, is ranked 67th in the world. These are two of the best golfers that you're going to find, and that's a great exhibition bash.
Golfers you're going to find, but two of
for all time. Jimmy DJ and Koepka. Okay, that's better right now, but they haven't earned it. They haven't done it long enough.
No, this is your closest version to Watson Nicklaus. I mean, this is as good as you're going to get. But I just personally, I feel it's too contrived. It's too manufactured. I don't think, I don't even think they have the same, they like each other now. Like, I don't even see, where's the witty banter going to be? He's going to say Tiger,
they'll be witty banter. Don't worry.
What's Tiger? Tiger's going to be like, oh, where's your long sleeve dress shirt, Phil? And Phil's going to say, what, you know, how's your back, old man? Like, you know, I just feel like there's no room for, it's just not organic. It's too contrived. And of course it's contrived, but it can't feel It can't feel so manufactured. I just think, I think the only redeeming thing for me is if they give the $10 million to the First Tee or Youth on Course, which I think
You'll know they're going to do some kind of charity component to it. You know they will. You can say what you want. Every single PGA Tour event brings tremendous amount of charitable dollars in.
Way more
than any other sport. When you go to a baseball game, we're giving $20,000. You go to a PGA Tour event, they're donating millions. For that 1 week, millions they're donating.
Sure.
So no, golf and golf does, they have a great charity component. I think they've really figured it out, which is great, to help the area they come to. And I am sure they're going to do the same thing there.
All right, you're for it. I'm against it. I'm the curmudgeon. Let's take a short break. We're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony. He's Woody Lashin, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop. And on the line is the head superintendent of North Hempstead Country Club, Tom Kaplan. How you doing, Tom?
Oh, great, Anthony. Thanks for having me on. I just want to preface coming on this morning by saying that I'm a Big Mac guy. So you guys were talking Peter Luger's and McDonald's, and, I like my Big Mac.
we all have a choice.
Hey, listen, you're not serving Big Macs on your golf course. I can tell you that. That golf course is serving nice Peter Luger's burgers.
Well, there you go.
It's a porterhouse 2-for-1.
There you go.
Yeah, that place is finely tuned. There's no question about that. Well, before we get to that, are you up for the – I might as well let you weigh in on the Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, contrived, winner-take-all, fabricated – puffed up. No, I'm just kidding. No, the winner take all $10 million. Where do you fall on it? You think it's a good thing? Do you care? Could you care less? What are your thoughts?
You know, I go back and forth. I agree with some of the points that you talk about. I agree with what he talked about. You know, people talking about golf, people excited about what they're, what it has to bring. You know, is it a bit contrived? Yes. Have they, you know, been the best of friends throughout time? You know, absolutely not. But, you know, if it gets people talking about golf and it makes people excited and, you know, they can do a good thing for, you know, the golf community and for charity, then I think, it's a great thing. So, I mean, regardless of whether you like it or not, anybody that's been a golf fan for the last 20 years will be tuned in, locked in, watching it and talking about and reliving a lot of memories, you know, between the two golfers whenever they do decide to play and, you know, what course they decide to play. So, you know, all in all, I think it's good for golf.
Well, thank you very much.
Throughout my throughout my history, I've always been a big Phil guy. I will go on record though saying is, I don't care what's the status of Tiger's back is. I will back Tiger before I back Phil. As much as I like Phil, and it's not because of his antics at the Open or anything like that. It's just that Tiger Woods has always been mentally stronger than Phil. And it doesn't matter, how he feels or what he's doing. I still think Tiger would win that match.
I agree. I think if you're a competitor in sports, whether you like Tiger Woods or not, you've always admired his mental toughness, especially when he was in his prime.
Yeah.
And, it's something to admire. You know, Phil has always been, you know, the people's player, the people's champion. But, that mental edge that Tiger has, when you see him, you know, even when he was at the U.S. Open, you know, when we were out at Shinnecock watching him, and you saw Phil, and everybody would say, hey, Phil, and then still, Tiger, he didn't make the cut, didn't play well, but he just had this aura about him when he walked by where, you know, you're still like that, you know, that little kid looking at your favorite sports figure, you know, walking by you, you know, and kind of starstruck. So
yeah.
I think it's great for the sport that he's playing again. Whether he wins or loses, you know, it's happy to see him in a good place. And all of this is good for golf. It's got people talking. So
yeah, I mean, he was a generation's Muhammad Ali. He was a generation's Michael Jordan. We've been very blessed. You think about the people that, let's say, not that we're old, but think about the people that we've gotten to see play sports. You know, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, LeBron James, Wayne Gretzky, so many tremendous athletes, like generational athletes, we've been fortunate to be a part of. And you're right, and Tiger Woods is one of those. I mean, he's, you see him and you can see there is an aura about him, and you're right, he's 100% locked in when he does something. And I just think he's mentally stronger than Phil, so I would pick him, you know, every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Well, looks like it'll be a good golf match whenever it happens, so look forward to it.
Let's talk some golf course stuff.
Yeah,
Anthony.
Let's talk a little bit. Let's turn it. I mean, listen, you guys have had to beat the heat in the last couple of days. Really curious. First of all, from the average Joe, ignorant person like me, who doesn't really know what's going on. First, I guess, explain to us, when you get basically 3 days or 4 days or whatever it was of high heat, very little wind, humidity, what's actually happening to the turf? You know, obviously it's under assault, but what does that mean?
Well, you know, it's like anything else. It would basically be like the equivalent to you, you know, to your body having the flu, you know. It goes through a very stressful period, and you have to take various precautions and be very diligent in terms of how you manage it and how you manage the stresses that come with it. And it's hard because you go from, you know, we've really have had a really great spring, a very good June. It's been warmer than average, I could say, but you have to be very cautious and put your guard up, because when you get into temperatures like we've experienced, really not only just for the past 3 days, but probably for the past week, you have to be cautious in the things that you do out on the golf course. And it's kind of like, with memberships and with the play, and with the people that come out to play, it's like they have to have an understanding that, you know, that you're trying to do the better for the hole in terms of managing through heat stress in a heat wave. And really kind of, you know, as superintendents, you know, you swallow your pride for that time that you manage through the heat. So it's
delicate balance.
Few days.
Tom, can you tell us a little bit about hand watering greens? Because I think, you know, I see guys out there doing it all the time, and I don't think that the Joe Q public understands, you know, why you do it, how you do it, and why it's important. Can you kind of run us through it a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So basically, you know, you're basically, you know, when you're dealing with something that's as delicate as greens, and you're cutting them and you're maintaining them at as low a height as you do, and at a speed that you do, the water management becomes so critical. So, you know, you'll see guys on the golf course in the morning and the afternoon, you know, watering the greens, and it really is day by day, get through the day, get through the heat type scenario, where you want to make sure that you give the plant, you know, enough water to be able to, you know, make it through certain waves of the day till 11 o'clock, you know, then from 11 to 2 o'clock, you know, then from 2 to 4 o'clock. And, you know, the watering that takes place on the greens, people have a tough time sometimes understanding it, but, you know, it's critical for as much as we manage greens to play the way that they play, you know, we have to also too micromanage the environment that sit under them. So, you know, water management is key, you know. And so a lot of the times when we're out there watering and you get a lot of the questions, you know, it's not so much that you're, you know, watering to try and soak them down to keep them wet. You know, you're watering to prevent them basically from, you know, from dying or getting any type of disease. And you know, technology, you know, I think I've talked about this a lot with Anthony on the show in prior years, but, you know, technology on the golf course, just like you know, when you play in club technology in terms of how we manage golf courses has come so far that, you know, you're able to really micromanage your greens to be able to make it through these heat waves in these days, you know, but there is some interference with the golfers, you know, and so that's where, you know, communication is paramount, and making sure that you don't underwater and you don't overwater is key.
Well, interesting you talk about technology, because I was just watching the other day, a guy comes out, he pulls up with his cart, and he pulls out this device, and he's poking, looks to me like a big temperature gauge, and he pokes it in a whole bunch of different spots on the green, and he goes, pulls out his hose, and he hits a couple of areas of the greens and a couple areas not of the green, and then he puts the hose back in his cart and goes on his way. That's something I've never seen. Maybe you've been doing it for a long time. I've seen guys hand water. I never saw someone with a temperature gauge, what I perceive to be his temperature gauge, and it's going, oh, I've got to probably put more over here, less over here. I always thought they did it by eye.
Yeah, and so it's funny that you say that, because there's so many misconceptions about that tool in itself. You know, now nowadays, really, and a lot of what takes place on the golf course comes from farms and agriculture, but it's really not even so much temperatures as much as it is, you know, we use these moisture meter devices.
Oh, they talk a moisture about meter?
They talk about them, you know, for PGA tournaments in terms of how much moisture is on the green and stuff, and they really allow us to be able to take the guesswork out of, you know, what the grass needs. And so you'll see the guy go out and poke the green, and, you know, people will always say, oh, well, what's the green running? You know, right away they think that, you know, we're measuring green speed a lot of the times.
Right.
You know, and temperature. And, you know, then you explain to them, no, we're actually trying to, you know, measure the moisture on the green to see what it needs. And so that's really where, you know, where the art and the science has really picked up in the last probably 10 to 15 years, is being able to take these devices out, you know, take the old guesswork out of it, where you usually would take a soil probe, you'd feel the soil, you'd see what it would need, then you think you'd put down enough, where, you know, nowadays we're able to go out there, quantify it, and, you know, and put down what the turf needs, which, you know, has been a great asset, a great tool.
I love technology. and I mean, if, you know, folks, if you aren't really paying attention, think about, even whether you're playing a muni or you're playing a private club,
right,
where the green speeds were, you know, 10, 15 years ago and where they are today on a consistent basis. You've got them faster. More importantly to me, you got them running truer. They, you know,
right,
the average green, again, doesn't matter where it is, to me, they run much truer. And I think that's the biggest thing. I remember talking to a superintendent, and he said, you know, you could have greens that are rolling at a 12, but they're bumpy. And, you know, you have them rolling at 11, and they're smooth, and rolling at 10, and they're super consistent. What would you rather have? You know, he always said he wanted the most consistent greens he could produce.
Right, yeah, and I think that's key. You know, when you get into these heat spells and these dry spells, and, you know, the plant goes under stress because the soil temperature comes up so much, and, you know, like I said, it's analogous to you having the flu or having some type of sickness. You know, that's still what I think that superintendents strive for the most is, look, there might be a loss in green speed and things might be a little bit slower, but you're still trying to provide that consistency and that, you know, that pureness and that trueness, you know, from green to green. And I think that if, you know, you can connect with that and you can do that, you know, 95% of the golfers that come out to play, you know, have an understanding and appreciate that. So that's really where technology has allowed us to be able to do that, even when you go through, you know, inclement weather like we've been through the past week or so.
Our guest is the head superintendent of North Hempstead Country Club. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
At Winfield United, we understand the challenges you face and the goals you have. We promise to do our best and to help you do yours. With the introduction of tools like the Geotech Insight platform and products like Droplex Extra, we are advancing the industry to new levels, allowing you to manage your time and budget more efficiently. Visit WinfieldUnitedPro.com to find a representative near you today. Winfield United, a proud sponsor of the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill level golfers, from our MP18 family featuring three different models designed for the better player to our JPX family featuring three different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness. We have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
All right, we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony. He's Woody, and on the line is the head superintendent of North Hempstead Country Club, Tom Kaplan. Tom, just to clarify a few things, if you might, talk a little bit about the relationship, I guess, between then the moisture reading and the soil temperature. I think are they two? How do those two work together? I saw you posted some soil temperatures on Twitter. They look pretty high. I don't really know exactly what I'm looking at, but maybe just explain a little bit the relationship between, I guess, when you take the soil temperature and then you have the moisture meter, how they work together.
Well, yeah, you can only control so much. So, you know, the soil temperature is really kind of independent on soil moisture, but also too related to soil moisture in terms of, you know, if you give the green, per se, since we're talking green specifically,
right.
If you give the green too much water, that can elevate the soil temperatures and start to cause almost kind of a boiling effect. So there really is a balance, because obviously, there's only so much you can do to control soil temperature. But when you go through a dry heat wave like we've been through, you really can do a lot to control the moisture. So there's a relationship between soil temperature and soil moisture. And so what superintendents try to focus on a lot is that soil moisture level as it relates to soil temperature, with soil temperature kind of being like the framework that you work around, and knowing that, you're in a heat wave, you're in heat stress, and knowing that, it's really critical to be able to manage the moisture accordingly, because, it would be, this is what I talk to people about, especially, my members, is, you just imagine, if you stick your hand in some warm water, for an extended period of time, and you kept in that warm water, you'd pull your hand out and the skin would peel off. And so, we go through these waves, like I was talking about with Woody before the last break, where, you water it down, you cool it down, you let it dry down, you let, certain processes take place in the plant, and you really try to balance that to manage the soil temperature, so there's a delicate line that you follow between the moisture and the soil temperature. And really, soil temperature is something that, we can't control, but we can control the soil moisture. So,
Tom, I'm curious to just change the topic a little bit. Like with your job, I kind of see it as you have three things, right? You've got Groundhog Day, which means you've got the cutting, the watering, the breaking of the bunkers, stuff that has to be done, whether it's every day or every other day, however whatever you're doing. Then you've got projects of things. The edge of this bunker caved in, or hey, we got a drainage problem here. The short term things, not obviously long term things, would be maybe in off season. And then you've got your emergencies, like hey, well, it looks like there's a fungus coming here, or we've got a issue here. Can you kind of give us an idea, like if I'm right, of those three things, like how you break it down, like on an average day, like what your workload is?
Yeah, no, you're right. Very much it is Groundhog Day, and really, I think that most superintendents, try to break it down and work in time frames and seasons, where you have a build up to Memorial Day where you will, you'll take certain projects on and you will want them to be wrapped up so that, the golf course can show itself, kind of come, that Memorial Day weekend and people come out and have that excitement, whether you're a public golf course or you're a private golf course. And, you always have, the one thing that never changes is always trying to, you always have to try to manage the turf accordingly. So, you could do the best project in the world, but if the golf course suffers, then it takes away from what the, what the golfer comes out to see. So you balance between the project and then the weather. And then I think you have a period between really, Memorial Day, Labor Day. I mean, even with, the way that the weather's become, it's even extended out past now past Labor Day, where you really, you know, you lock into, as you say, you know, that groundhog type day scenario, and you have, you know, your little issues that pop up, you know, in short term problems that you learn how to fix, and you know, you go ahead and you fix, you know, whether it be a drainage issue or a fungus that takes place. But you know, the critical part, I think, is managing it all, and then being able to communicate it all, you know, and having people understand that, look, when you go from Memorial Day, you know, through Labor Day, this is really the critical time of the season where, you know, we're managing the golf course, and we want the golf course to play well. We don't want to have any interruption with play on the golf course, but we're always kind of trying to plan ahead for, you know, what's next to, you know, keep the golf course in as best a shape as possible, or, you know, plan ahead for the future in terms of improvements for the golf course.
Tom, what is next? And just talk a little bit about the golf course. I think it's obviously finely tuned. The place is really pure. It's just a wonderful property. You just opened up a new range there, which is awesome. What's on the slate for you? I know we only have a couple of minutes left, but yeah. What's on the slate for North Hempstead Country Club?
Yeah, well, we were, you know, very fortunate to have a large piece of property that opened up next to the first hole, and we were able to purchase that property through the diligent work of the membership and build a driving range. And I think, you know, Woody could probably attest to this even more than me, but, you know, practice and people coming out on the golf course is so important, being able to have those facilities to encourage people to come out and just, you know, swing the golf club, because people don't have that, you know, 4 to 5 hours during their day to be able to come out and play 9-18 holes. So that was a huge, huge project, a great addition to the club. And, but yeah, you know, you're always planning ahead. You know, now I look at and I start talking with the membership about, you know, the possibilities of, you know, how do we improve our short game area, you know, so people can come up and chip and simulate shots into the greens. And, you know, you look for certain avenues to continue to, you know, to streamline your golf course, to want to make people to come out and use the facility, not just the golf course, but the facility in itself. And so I think that's one of the most important things, you know, in addition to whatever needs to be done to maintain the upkeep of the golf course.
So will the old, the area that you had the driving range, that's going to be a new expanded short game area potentially?
I don't know. You know, it's funny because, you know, you can build these great types of areas, but if it's not close to the clubhouse and it's not convenient for people to get to, then you don't know if people are going to go use them. So,
right.
You know, like, we have that area, you know, still open for discussion. We've had some talks about the possibility of lengthening our 14th hole, which is a really short par 5, and making it into a longer hole. But, you know, the area of concentration, all the areas of concentration always most importantly are, you know, how we can, you know, make the club, you know, more user-friendly, you know, as close to the clubhouse, you know, as possible, you know, if that makes
right.
sense.
Right, sure. A lot of, you see a lot of, you're obviously, it's a Tilly course, and a lot of, you see a lot of these people now, a lot of clubs going back to the master plans and really doing a lot of intent, bringing the course back to its original intent. I feel like you've always had that there. I don't think you've ever, it doesn't seem like it's ever, anything is out of place. It seems like it'd be as close to it as the original intent was from it was originally designed.
Yeah, there's certain elements of the golf course certainly that have, you know, that have never changed and have stood the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's certain elements that you do look at and that you do see, you know, that, you know, when you see places like, I mean, Wingfoot is a great, you know, is a great testament to, you know, going through a restoration and really bringing it back to a, you know, to its classic killing gas design. So there's certain things that you, like personally that I'll see out on the golf course that, you know, that I would love to, bring back into play, whether it's expanded greens or fairway lines that are closer to fairway bunkers, you know.
Right.
You know, yeah, all for the purpose of, you know, of really bringing that golf course back to that classic feel and making it more enjoyable for
sure.
the member. But it's like anything else, you prioritize, you know, and
exactly.
It's most important to the membership and into what people want.
All right, Tom, we got to go. We're up against it, but thank you very much for your time this morning. I thought it was important for you to get this sort of message out for the for Joe Q public to understand what exactly you're dealing with. Thank you for your time this morning.
Yeah, thank you, Anthony, and thanks, Woody, and I think I'm headed to McDonald's for a couple breakfast sandwiches.
All right, buddy. All right, that was Tom Kaplan, the head superintendent of North Hempstead Country Club. I'm Anthony Scorcher. He's Woody Lashin. Thank you for joining us this week. Have a great week, everybody.